Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are happy to hear from our guy. It's been a minute, man. We've missed our conversations with Tone. Tony Gwynn Jr., our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB insider, who has had a front row seat for the past two games as the Astros and Padres played. Really a crazy game yesterday for a lot of reasons. And I really enjoyed the atmosphere in it at Petco Park, so it was a good time there. But, Tone, man, we're glad to hear from you. It's been a while.
It's been a minute, fellas. How are you guys?
Good. You know, we're good. Not a lot's happened since you left. I lost a bet. I had to dye my hair blonde, and so it's.
I saw that.
Tom, man, you just. Laughing.
I knew it had to be a bet.
Yeah, you laughing just a little too hard on that, but not a lot's happened. It's been a good time, but we're getting close to the postseason, and it looks like both you will be experiencing that this year, and the Astros are well on their way to doing that as well. Yesterday was a crazy game. I do want to get this out the way before we move forward. The umpiring took center stage in particular with yesterday's game. I don't know how great it was in game one either. But in your opinion, was it equally bad? Because you watched it from a different prism, at least, you know, either from a Padres prism or more objective prism than maybe Astros fans did. Did you think anybody got screwed more, or did you think it evened out?
It definitely evened out. It's really been like that the first two games of the season, of the series. I mean, both, you know, anytime we're having this conversation after the last couple of games, which were really high-level baseball, it's a bad thing, you know. So, you know, you just hope that this rotation tomorrow or today will be a little bit better than it was yesterday, because both sides certainly had moments where you could see somebody getting ejected. Eventually, it ended up being Altuve, but that could have been either side, honestly.
Well, Tone, on the Astros side of things, you got a chance to see up close and personal Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown, two of the young arms in this, and I think you've obviously seen Verlander plenty in your time covering the game and playing the game. I think the conversation here, obviously, since Verlander came back, has been how rough it's been for him. Now, the last outing wasn't as rough. I mean, he went five innings, I think. But anyway, he didn't come back as strong as I think most people expected him to be. And he's on borrowed time because the playoffs are right around the corner. One, when you see those two young pitchers pitch, just how impressive are they? And then two, as you get down to the playoffs, if he's not who you call Ver, if he's not back to that dominant guy, what would you do in a playoff, in a wild card scenario or a playoff scenario where there's only so many starters can be used?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the easy question first. The two guys, the two young guys, Arrighetti and Brown, are phenomenal. I mean, it's part of the reason why, you know, when we were having these conversations early in the year, I didn't know Arrighetti's name at the time, but I knew there was some young dude down there that was going to be worthy of coming up and throwing the ball well. And he's been that guy. I think Brown is coming to his own this season. He had that rough outing against Oakland to start before this, which kind of had my antennas up, because the previous six, he was dominant. And so, you know, a guy has a one-off start like that, usually he comes back and he pitches well. And that's exactly what he did. I bet you he would have liked that walk now, as it turns out, because Manny ended up doing what Manny does. But those two guys are phenomenal. I mean, if the Astros are kind of setting their sights on those two, and I think they got a lot to be excited about. Now, in terms of Verlander, you know, I just think he's going to need some time to get right. You're right, he doesn't have as much time. But how comfortable are you you know, in a, you know, wild card series, winner take all, basically, of not using a guy like Verlander. I think that will really depend on what he shows down the stretch here. He's going to have at least one more start before things get active here. But it's hard for me to imagine a scenario in which he's not involved.
That's interesting, and I'm going to go right to it with this, Tony. You may not know Joe Espada as much. Maybe this would be different if Dusty was managing. I think you got more of a feel with Dusty. But your thoughts on that, as you presented that scenario, right now they would face the Minnesota Twins and host them in a three-game set. I think we feel Framber Valdez and what he's done in the second half clearly is going to be a starter in a three-game series. Hunter Brown, as you just talked about, has been this way really since June. But then there's, we talked about Eric Geddy, but Kikuchi has been.
Who? Ooh, yeah.
You say Kikuchi has been absolutely phenomenal since he's been traded over here. Ronel Blanco has been arguably the most consistent throughout. Yeah. Would Verlander be the third guy for you? Like, if you know manage and know how guys are and how comfortable they are and how the postseason is different. If Hunter Brown and Framber have two of the starts, do you think Verlander gets the third, or you think it goes to one of the others?
Oh, man. I could see a scenario where it goes with one of the other guys. You know, Joe he's different than you're right. He's 100%. He's a lot – he's handled these situations differently than maybe Dusty would have. I mean – they have had to make some tough decisions more than a couple times this year already. And he's been there, been ready to pull the trigger on it. So I could definitely see, especially if Argetti continues to throw the ball the way he has. You mentioned Blanco. I mean, they got options. These are great problems to have, that you have too much pitching. And listen, I Ver probably wouldn't be he probably wouldn't be against coming out of the bullpen if he had to find a way to help the team. So I think all of that is really wide open, more so than it probably was in the past with Dusty there. There's definitely a scenario in which Verlander is not the third on that piece. If it were left up to me, I'd have a hard time doing it, though.
Well, we talk about decisions, and Joe Espada's got some major decisions that he's going to have to make. I think some people, hell, I look at it as a plus, but I'm curious to know what you think. And because you look at, like, the catcher position has been a rotation between Diaz and Caratini in an effort to get the best bats in the lineup, right? The first base position has been, you know, three, four, five different guys have played first base this year. The outfield, Tucker's back, but left field, and you can tie the DH to that with Yordan Alvarez. That's been a turnstile this year with just so many different guys playing. Center field, Jake Myers is your best, you know, statistically, I guess, your best defensive center fielder, but he leaves a lot to be desired at the plate, and Dubon sitting there. So when you look at this team, and you go, okay, what direction are they going to go? Usually it's just, you know, a couple spots and maybe one of the starters in the rotation. Man,
yeah.
Joe's got about five really tough decisions to make of do you take the defense or do you take the better bat? You know, there's some decisions to be made, man.
There's no doubt. He probably is going to have more decisions to make than probably any of the other managers that are going to be in the dance. But I think it'll depend on matchups, right? What if the matchups hold as they are today? What does the Twins roster look like? Are they a fly ball team, which they are? They hit a gang of fly balls. So, you know, if that's going to be the case, do you want to have your best outfield defense out there? If they got a lot of righties or a lot of lefties, that's going to all factor in how they put that roster together. You know, outside of the dudes who aren't going anywhere. You know, so. You know, quite frankly, a lot of these guys are auditioning right now for those spots. Who's going to be hot going in to that first series? And what does their roster look like and how can we match it up? Again, I think these are good problems to have because you have so many options that you can choose from. The question is, can you push the right buttons and pick the right pieces that match up well with the team you're facing?
Tone, I'm interested in one specific. The first base position, you know, the art of, obviously you want to have a bat over there, but the art of scooping the ball is, I mean, it's what the first base position is all about. How comfortable are you with the Astros having a guy like Diaz over there. Is that a concern for you, or is that something you just deal with?
I mean, listen, given what I saw last night, how comfortable are you with Diaz behind the dish? You know, in terms of the defense, I mean, a couple of them balls, you know, got to be blocked and kept in front. And when runs are at a premium, maybe it's something you think. His bat is certainly special. I mean, there aren't too many rookies that are going to come up and be able to be as consistent as Diaz has been. And so the question is it a more of a minus to have him behind the plate, or is it more of a minus to put him at first base? I certainly didn't see anything at first base that would give me hesitation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Up here playing. Now, granted, I only saw the one game, but it didn't stand out to me that, oh, man, he might be a problem there. So, you know, given I haven't seen a ton of them at first, you know, I could be dead wrong, but he didn't seem to be uncomfortable playing over there. And if you're trying to find bats and a defense mix, you know, Caratini behind the dish may be the better option defensively if you keep Diaz at first base.
Yeah, Tony, what you guys were just talking about is, you said, you know, pushing the right buttons and how he handles the catcher in first base position will be a thing. I just think, Tony and Clint, we've watched it all year. I think Joe loves this. I think Joe loves to play and make a lot of decisions and have different guys come in and out. I think he is into that. I think he enjoys, you know, hey, I don't really have a set lineup. You don't know who could be playing first, who could be playing left. Or I think he is a manager that loves to use his bench. So, I think it is going to be a lot on what decisions he makes.
You know, what's interesting is it seems like, and this is anecdotal, but it seems like a lot of first-year managers are into using all of the tools that they have at their disposal. And as they get more seasoned, you start to see that change, sometimes ever so slightly, sometimes bigger. And, you know, continuity in some cases can go a long way. We see it with the Padres. You know, for the last couple of years, we've had that kind of revolving door, different lineups. This year, you know, we got basically a left-handed lineup and a right-handed lineup. And there's only about one or two pieces that change from time to time. Whatever Joe has done has obviously worked, because they've pulled themselves from the depths when everybody was pushing the panic button, and now they seem to control their own destiny moving forward. So, you know, it's hard to argue with the results to this point, but, you know, especially in this organization, you're not measured necessarily on what you do in the regular season. You measure what you do in the postseason. So we'll see if those buttons can continue to be pushed right.
All right, Tony, appreciate you. Enjoy the game tonight. And you're right, man. These have been some high-level, great atmospheres, felt like playoff-level ball games the first two games of the series. We'll be watching, and I know you'll be you'll be having a good call.
Hey, Tony, I don't know what game you're calling tonight, but I hope y'all lose, man.
Wow.
I'm sure you do. Good to talk to y'all boys.
All right, that's our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 Insider, MLB Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., who it's good to hear from Tony again. It's been a while since we heard from him. All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest on the Texans news, their injury front. They've had to play one of their offensive players and weapons on the IR. We'll fill you in on that, as well as a couple of guys who missed practice that we want to keep a real note on. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.